It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
You're tuned to a Friday Rave on Community Radio 3CR, 855 on your old school AM dial, or through all the W's at 3cr.org.au, through your favourite podcast client, or of course your whiz-bang surveillance helicopter in the sky. Now, unfortunately, Jake and I can't be with you in the studio for a live show today, so we're going to be playing a repeat of a show that first went to air back in October, and also a bit from a show in December. That we are talking about the Great Plan and Trump's 20-point plan is the watered-down version. And this is going to be a little bit of a jumping-off point, I guess, for a show where we're going to be talking about the Board of Peace recently announced at Davos and the master plan for Gaza. Now, there's been a lot happened this week. Of course, if you were at the Invasion Day rallies or if you weren't, please jump onto 3CR's website and listen to the Invasion Day broadcast. And to keep updated, there's plenty of current affairs shows on 3CR. You can listen to Tuesday Hometime, Bunjil's Fire, Yillerman, or any of the brekkie shows to get what's going on right now. And of course, Palestine Remembered will be back this weekend. But for now, this is a repeat of a Friday Rave from October and December, and we'll be at you live next week.
Well, the first thing I want to do is give a belated well done to the Australian government for finally making a decision to act according to its own bloody policy and recognise the state of Palestine. I mean, when we... I've got too much to say. I won't get so much there. I've heard it said it doesn't mean anything at all, but it does, and not all in a good way. And in some way, it does point to a change of some sort. And I think where we've finally got to with the situation in Gaza is a shift in global capital's focus to the next stage, to that of a post-war Gaza Strip. And I know that sounds defeatist, and I'm not suggesting for a moment that we give up or even reduce by one bloody iota our efforts to bring about a free and independent Palestine for all people, for stretching from the river to the sea. But I am suggesting that the global rules-based order has by now considered their victory to be a fait accompli. And while we can hope that they're wrong, standing by and saying it's, you know, chanting the same slogans we've chanted for 2 years now without taking a breath to step back and evaluate where we're at is not doing anyone any favours. And that sort of encapsulates, Mercedes, some of the conversations you and I have been having and others for a while. The left, and by the left, I mean our unwillingness to look at events and movements from local things like the fascist marches on the streets to the bigger picture of era-defining things like genocide being waged on Gaza by Australia's closest friends and allies, and indeed things like global warming. So what I want to do just for here is to ask the question why. And in particular, I want to look at why Palestine. Why is Israel permitted, encouraged, and even abetted to undertake genocide? And it seems to me that as much as there is any, the response that we normally come up with is simply because the world hates Palestinians, or at best, they don't give a shit about Palestinians, or a slightly more nuanced response that Israel hates Palestinians and the US and the global West want to support Israel, or even more complicated, that the US wants to support Israel and the global West is enthralled to the US. Or, you know, it's an attempt of understanding the position Israel plays in the global rules-based order's plan for global hegemony. And I know this might upset some of our listeners, but what if I said that it's not even about Palestine? That at worst, I don't give a shit about Palestine, that Gaza just got in the way. You know, I don't know how many times I've said it on this program and elsewhere. The sole project of global capital, the sole project, is the concentration of more and more of the world's wealth into fewer and fewer hands. That's it. Capital doesn't give a shit about the colour of your skin, what god you pray to, your gender identity, or anything else, except in as much as it can leverage these positions to alienate and divide people who could, if only, unite against it. So looking at what's going on now and taking as a starting point to position at the sole, not the primary, but the sole project of capital is to concentrate more and more of the world's wealth into fewer and fewer hands. Why Palestine? And the answer I've got to come is, I don't know. I'm not claiming to know the internal machinations of the people who make the big decisions. Though I do subscribe to the notion that there is really no one at the helm, and everyone from Netanyahu and Trump down to Albanese, and along with that prick of a boss of yours or the your landlord, who'll do whatever they do, isn't thinking much more than what it's going to take to get them a bigger slice of the resources. That's the organic nature of capitalism. We've all been colonized by capitalism. But I reckon taking a squiz at plans that are popping up, and people may have heard about the 20-point plan and the great plan, might give us an idea or two. And who knows, if nothing else, an idea could be valuable in itself, however heterodox that idea might be. But I want to go on about the Great Trust. People have heard by now about the Great Trust, GREAT being an acronym for the Gaza Reconstruction, Economic Acceleration and Transformation. Deary me. And it's subtitled, From a Demolished Iranian Proxy to a Prosperous Abrahamic Ally. Well, that's all Gaza was, Iranian proxy. This plan was put together with significant input from the same people who came up with the whole Gaza Humanitarian Foundation project. And the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation comes up a number of times in the plan. In fact, in one part, it looks as if they were just nothing more than the first part of the plan. But anyway, I want to get on. And look, I encourage you to look it up for yourselves, not just a commentary on it, but download the actual plan. It's been spread around everywhere, the Great Trust. Now, talks of relocating most Gazans voluntarily and paying them off and having the GHF building housing for those who want to stay. Not too many details, because remember, Gazans don't matter. It's not about Gazans. More important is all the talk about the whole, what it's designed to fit into is a thing called the IMEC, the India, Middle East, Europe Economic Corridor, a proposed new trade route that was the subject of an MOU between India, the US, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Italy, Germany, and France, along with the EU a couple of years back, a month before 7th of October. Now, look, relax. I'm not saying 7th of October was a false flag to implement all this. I'm not a conspiracy dickhead. All I'm saying is that this idea is not in response to the Gaza genocide. It predates it. Now, long-term listeners may recall I've spoken a lot over the years about trade routes. In order to concentrate more and more of the world's wealth into fewer and fewer hands, one must control not just resources, but the access to resources and between resources, industry and the market. As far as the West is concerned, the South China Sea issue and Taiwan, of course, is about trade routes and access to deep water by China. Nobody actually believes China is going to invade anywhere, not the Philippines, not Vietnam, and absolutely not Australia. But controlling trade routes, China's ability to connect resources to production to markets, is far more important to the balance of capital for them than actually invading anywhere. China's more concerned about its freedom to expand its markets than it is about being invaded itself. You know, there's some nationalistic pride to be regained about Taiwan after what they call the century of humiliation. But the biggest concern to China is maintaining total access to the deep water shipping routes. And now they need to rebuild their military in order to keep maintaining the access because Western militaries are attacking those access. And that's why this big project, the IMEC, is there to counter China's big project, the Belt Road Initiative, which is a series of linked infrastructure projects to facilitate transport routes. Now, the IMEC was developed over the course of the last few years as a direct response. The Blue Dot Network that Australia was centrally involved in and we reported on when it was created back in 2019, through to Biden's Build Back Better World, or B3W. You know, just the utterance of Build Back Better World should have given us some indication of just how far along the GW Bush road to dementia that old Cotton Eye Joe actually was from the start. But now the EU has launched its own plan, for a similar logistics linkage called the Global Gateway, and this was mainly about ensuring access to resources and maintaining influence in Africa. And they put that together, I think it was in late 2020. And gee whiz, didn't that work out well, with just about every former French colony telling Europe to go take a flying fuck through a rolling donut and cozying up closer to Russia and China. And by the way, I maintained the position I took 3 years ago that reducing Russia's military capacity as it began making commercial inroads into the Sahel was at very least a significant contributing factor to the Biden administration artificially maintaining the war in Ukraine for as long as it did, if not creating it. War has always been about resources and trade. In the 21st century, the world is already carved up amongst the capital powers, and the main task is not to invade or repel invasion, but to protect and extend capitalist enterprise based around trade, resource extraction, and market share. And when I speak of resources here, I include human beings who work turning ores into products at cheaper and cheaper rates. You know, it's called free trade. And that brings me back to what I wanted to talk about, the Gaza reconstruction economic thing, trust. One of the big parts of it is that Gaza will become a free trade zone, no doubt offering free trade level, menial jobs, but not to Palestinians. Because I couldn't help notice, when you look at the map, the two main internal roads, the only two on the map, are named the MBS Ring and the MBZ Highway, named for Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and UAE President Mohammed bin Zayed. It's got to be a clue as to where the investment is coming from. Now, Saudi Arabia and the UAE are notorious for their use of foreign workers. Saudi is using them from East Africa and the UAE from South and East Asia. In fact, when I was making the notes for this yesterday, another news story emerged on my little laptop here about the Indonesian authorities intercepting dozens of workers, migrant workers, being illegally taken to the Middle East. Now, no doubt that if this great trust goes ahead and a major, what it's called, I kid you not, Elon Musk smart manufacturing zone is built, it will be staffed by foreign workers on the same subsistent wages with even less rights than they have in either Saudi or the UAE. And reading through the document, that sounds like a tech bro's wet dream. And perhaps that's all it is. But it gives us an idea, Mercedes and friends and other listeners, what they're planning. Along with the free trade zone are, of course, transport logistics hub with a self-funded military arising out of the current GHF structure. In other words, a private army. Then there's the data center, planned to be, of course, the biggest ever, with cables and satellite communications infrastructure on a scale not seen outside of the US military. And then there's the Trump Islands, based on artificial island developments of Abu Dhabi, the concept behind the famous image of Netanyahu and Trump chilling on the new Riviera. As I said, it sounds like a tech bro wet dream, and perhaps that all it is. But it does give us an insight into what we're looking for, what they're looking for. A totally, openly, corporate-controlled country. Some of them can argue there's already plenty of them, but the key word here is openly. And whether this eventuates in Gaza immediately after the genocide, because a genocide, by definition, can't go on forever, or whether the plan doesn't work and it ends up being built God knows when or where. This is the ultimate goal. An independent country run by corporations and finance that is not beholden to any laws, either local or international. This is the goal. And while we know that getting rid of all the pesky international laws that constrain their appetite to, I'll say it again, concentrate more and more of the world's wealth into fewer and fewer hands, you're going to hear that coming a lot out of me over the coming, because I want to drive that point home. That's what it's about. The global rules-based order, as you know, we've also been saying, replacing the current UN-based international system, flawed as it is, they are now moving openly towards that. How are we going for time? Could I talk for a couple more minutes about Pete Hegseth?
Yeah, absolutely.
The other day, Wednesday, US Secretary for War, Pete Hegseth, addressed over 800 generals and admirals at an unprecedented meeting in Virginia that he called them to from all over the world. Now, he said some pretty awful shit, and there's been a lot of criticism in the media about his attacks on women, gays, trans community, and even bearded and overweight military. He is, after all, a nasty piece of work. I'll listen to his speech. Anyhow, while I was appalled as any other commentator on his attacks, I picked up a different thread to people aren't referencing. It was this, and this is a quote, an official quote from the official transcript. We are preparing every day. We have to be prepared for war, not for defence. We're training warriors, not defenders. We fought forced to win, not to defend. Defence is something you do all the time. It's inherently reactionary and can lead to overuse, overreach and mission creep. War is something you do sparingly on your own terms with clear aims. We fight to win. We unleash overwhelming and punishing violence on the enemy. We also don't fight with stupid rules of engagement. We untie the hands of our warfighters to intimidate, demoralise, hunt and kill the enemies of our country. No more politically correct and overbearing rules of engagement. Just common sense, maximum lethality and authority for warfighters. It's very simple, yet incredibly powerful. End of quote. No more stupid and overbearing rules of engagement. Unleash overwhelming and punishing violence on the enemy, but not in defence we attack. This sounds tantamount to me as a declaration of disengaging from the whole bloody Geneva Convention. And I've seen no comment on it in all the press that I've been scanning about the way he had a crack at diversity and wokeness within the military. This is where we're going, folks.
This is where we're going, and it doesn't, it's fucking bleak. But I just want to elaborate on some points that are both mentioned in Trump's 20-point plan and the Australian government's official announcement on recognising Palestinian statehood, and that they both merely say that they recognise the aspirations of the Palestinian people for statehood. There is no mention of rights, self-determination, let alone justice, nor is there a single mention of genocide. And what's more, both focus and highlight the reconstruction of Gaza, which can only mean that once the genocide is over, then there's no concrete steps to ending the genocide. And so we can only assume the government's position from their total inaction, that they're not doing anything to actually stop it. And so all parts of these plans, including the Great Plan, the 20-point plan, and in part the similarities with recognising Palestinian statehood, are talking about a Palestinian state that is for a territory that is led by an outside coercive structure of business people, Trump and Blair and Elon, among unnamed others, with no time frame for Palestinian self-determined governance, which restructures the territories currently occupied by Israel into a framework that denies any actual rights for Palestinian state and Palestinian people. And it deems those territories as being under a corporate structure, which undermines from the get-go any possibility for any Palestinian self-determination. So the plan to reformulate Palestine as a largely corporate entity under the security of private militaries run by mercenaries and as a haven for tech bros and capitalist enterprise can only be seen, as Jake said, another step towards the global rules-based order that does away with any formal rules and conventions around international law and statehood in any sense of which we understand it. It is a tech bro's wet dream, and that's the perfect way to describe it, because I do consider this plan as one of the trajectory of disruptive economics, much like the way that Silicon Valley touts itself as a new form of capitalism. So the Great Plan does speak to the US strategic benefits within it, namely strengthening its hold in the East Mediterranean and further, and I can't do a show without mentioning this, but further secures US industry access to $1.3 trillion of rare earth minerals from the Gulf. Now, Saudi Arabia's rare earth reserves were originally estimated at $1.3 trillion, but it's now forecast to about $2.5 trillion, are a key piece of the pie under Bin Salman's Vision 2030 plan. So the backdrop is the US's $600 billion commitment from Saudi Arabia to invest in the US, alongside an agreement for the US to lift sanctions off Syria, which was signed in May and announced by Trump in Riyadh in front of people like Elon Musk, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, BlackRock's Larry Fink, and it goes on. So part of that deal does include a $142 billion defence sales agreement, which is the largest in Washington's history. And there's already been over a dozen US weapons companies that have been tapped to deliver that. But just back to the rare earth for a second, just 2 days after the announcement of that $600
$1 billion deal back in May, US rare earth miner MP Materials signed a memorandum of understanding with Saudi Arabia's flagship mining company, Ma'aden, to jointly develop a rare earth supply chain in Saudi Arabia. And thus, Gaza is being earmarked in this fucking horrible plan to be the gateway for the IMEC, as Jake spoke about. So on the point that you spoke to in regards to indentured labour, Jake, part of the Elon Musk's manufacturing hub is the assembly of batteries and electric vehicles. And this is a quote, it's, quote, by skilled, in parentheses, low-cost personnel. So it says it within the plan, using the materials from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and UAE. So the housing plan for Gaza, this is again another quote, will be based off Haussmann's strategy in 19th century Paris. And this plan aims to address one of Gaza's ongoing insurgency's root cause, its urban design. And one, I think, need only read Walter Benjamin's The Arcades Project to know what that really means. So in this housing plan, all services and economies in the cities will be done through an ID-based AI-powered digital systems. And again, a direct quote from the great plan itself. It is to digitise asset information in blockchain as record of ownership, e.g. digital land title registration, and to create and register tokens for fractional ownership and offer Gazans to place their privately owned land in the trust in exchange for a token that gives a right for permanent housing units. So for those who don't put their land into the trust will likely be denied the services and the economy through the ID based AI-powered digital systems. And in blockchaining the entire economy and making those tokens redeemable for land, land which belongs to Palestinians but will be stolen by the Gaza Land Trust, the Great Plan is a blueprint for a system that exists totally outside of the bounds of international law and disrupts existing forms of capital accumulation, doing away with seemingly all forms of traditional banking systems in favour of blockchaining, thus undermining any self-determined Palestinian governments by encapsulating all of the financial system into one controlled by the companies who control the blockchain. And we know that this is not going to be Palestinians. Now, this is not to say that... This is not to say that the old form of capitalism is good, but I just want to highlight where this plan departs. And so creating a new market, not only in data storage and boosting the profits for the tech bros, but it's recreating a new economic system from the rubble and the blood of Palestinians. So now onto the GHF. The first step in the plan is already being implemented and is already actuating at the start of the broad surveillance networks of Palestinians using Palantir technology that will feed into the ID systems outlined in the Great Plan. I hate calling it the Great Plan, just as a note. And although the plan is for GHF to fold into the Great Trust, Israel will still maintain overarching powers to, quote, meet its security needs. And given that Israel is carrying out a genocide in the name of its, quote, security, it's a pretty much carte blanche. So the capitalized Palestinian polity referred to in the plan is likely referring to what's outlined in Trump's 20-point plan as, quote, the temporary transitional governance of a technocratic apolitical Palestinian committee responsible for delivering the day-to-day running of public services and municipalities for the people in Gaza. This committee will be made up of qualified Palestinians and international experts with oversight and supervision by a new international transitional body, the, quote, Board of Peace, which will be headed and chaired by Donald Trump, with other members and heads of state to be announced, including former Prime Minister Tony Blair, end quote, with eventual transition to the Palestinian Authority without any timelines or anything definitive. So it's largely... All of that is largely undermined by the aforementioned veto powers held by Israel and, of course, their known history of murdering any negotiators. The Gaza 2035 plan explicitly calls for large-scale investment in private military contractors. It forecasts for investment and return are included, as is the plan for the trust, to own 30 to 40% of Gaza. So whether this plan includes the right land rightfully owned by Gazans, which would be coerced into handing over the trust in exchange for tokens to have access to services and the economy and housing, is unclear. However, the trust holding a large percentage of, quote, public land, only to be assumed as land which is the rightful owners have been genocided by Israel, land once holding facilities and hospitals and schools, all destroyed by Israel, we can only assume that the 30 to 40% of land ownership is the baseline. Now, I am at a little bit of a loss because there's so much in this plan and I think people need, you know, as Jake said, jump on and have a look. So it's kind of hard to wrap up. It's all so unimaginably horrific. But
yeah,
in like I think to make Australia, this all makes Australia's recognition of a Palestinian statehood all words. And so, in keeping in with the bullshit government, and as we already know, Australia's complicity runs deep. So whether the government is hell-bent on this plan coming to fruition, which, without giving them any credit, I doubt, but their continual transfer of weapons components to carry out the genocide and their abject failure to do anything to stop the genocide in contravention of international law is enough, let alone using the same language in their announcements that is echoed in these plans. So the Great Plan, alongside Trump's 20-point plan, seems to be a blueprint, which, if enabled by governments like ours, the West, and global capital, then I expect we're going to see much more of this. And with the impending climate collapse, the effects of which will disproportionately impact the global South, then this plan provides a blueprint for how the people and places affected will be dealt with under the guise of aid. We need not forget that the GHF emerged from the marine vets of Team Rubicon, who somewhat suspiciously landed themselves at their own behest in Port-au-Prince in 2011 after the Haiti earthquake, which we've spoken about on a Friday rave before. And then there's Philip Riley, the former CIA Special Intelligence Service officer who now heads up the Boston Consulting Group. Now, I could go on, but the GHF is just one part of this horrific plan that's already being implemented by their imposition in Gaza now. Palantir.
Hello.
And so a couple of months ago we spoke about Palantir, some listeners might remember, and its role in the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation and, of course, with the Israeli military, which extends prior to the last 2 years. It's intensified in the last 2 years, and particularly in 2024. But Palantir have had offices in Israel since 2015.
Yep.
And so at the time, we spoke about what was called the Great Plan, and that has essentially now been watered down to Trump's 20-point peace plan that was passed by the UN Security Council.
Yep.
So echoing the really explicit fascist overtones of the American homeland, Palantir CEO Alex Karp is really pushing big tech towards a techno-militarist bent in protecting US global hegemony.
Yeah.
And he makes no secret of it. So from developing specific software for deportations and ICE, which Palantir have done as a sole source, it is being planted in Palantir being planted in Gaza through the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, entering in a contract with the Israeli military to, quote, this is a quote, optimize the kill chain with what it's called its Artificial Intelligence Platform, or AIP, and I want you to remember that. Palantir is more likened to a swarm of locusts.
It's
coming. So it's recently been exposed that Palantir's tech was used in Israel's pager attacks in Lebanon.
Yep.
And at the time we were talking about the first iterations of Trump's peace plan, we said that the companies like Palantir will be the first in line in the formation of what can really only be described as like the investment de-risking of Palestine for the tech bros' wet dream and for Israel's ongoing occupation.
That's what it's about.
And so, as part of that, the early stages of that, so-called peace plan, the Civil Military Coordination Center, or the CMCC, established by the Central Command, US Central Command, is located 20 k's from Gaza's border, and it's been set up to oversee the International Stabilization Force. And so, lo and behold, Palantir's Maven tech is embedded within the CMCC, and it's harvesting surveillance data that it collects from satellites, battle situations, and of course from Palestinians seeking aid to centralize its command and control operations.